Republic Airways buys the Bombardier C-Series. United orders at least 25 Dreamliners from Boeing. And Australia may buy an attack helicopter from the U.S. This is Arrow News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this Arrowcast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, March 1st, 2010. Republic Airways Holdings will be the North American launch customer for the new Bombardier C-Series airliner. Republic operates six regional airlines and has placed an order for 40 CS-300 jets configured for 138 seats each. It also has options for 40 more, with delivery scheduled to start in 2015. The airline also signed a 15-year maintenance contract with Pratt & Whitney for support of the plane's PW1000G engines. Republic CEO Brian Bedford explained the decision. Quote, "The CS-300 will help us dramatically reduce our fuel consumption and impact on the environment. Our customers will also appreciate the generous amount of personal space with wider aisles, increased shoulder room, improved storage bins, and extra large windows." Unquote. Republic's other brands include Chautauqua, Frontier, Lynx Aviation, Midwest Airlines, and Shuttle America. Boeing and United Airlines have finalized an order for 25 787-8 Dreamliners, with options for 50 more. Boeing Commercial Airplanes CEO Jim Albaugh commented, quote, "Boeing and United Airlines share an 80-year partnership. United, which launched the Boeing 777, now begins a new chapter with the 787 Dreamliner, the most technologically advanced commercial jetliner ever built," unquote. United President John Tagg said the Dreamliner, quote, "will enhance the significant progress we are making in improving the global competitiveness of our company while providing the opportunity to open new profitable markets and serve a broader range of international destinations," unquote. Deliveries are expected to start in sync with the airline's retirement of 747s and 767s used by United on international routes. Australian Defense Forces plans to open a bid competition within the next few months for procurement of a new Navy combat helicopter. Minister for Defense Senator John Faulkner announced Thursday that the government has identified two options, either the MH-60R, built by Sikorsky and Lockheed Martin and sourced through the U.S. Navy, or the NATO helicopter industry's NH-90 NFH, sourced through Australian Aerospace. Among the specs defined so far are capabilities for anti-submarine warfare and air-to-ground missiles. Faulkner commented, quote, "This fleet of combat helicopters will form the centerpiece of naval combat aviation to beyond 2040. They will replace the current fleet of Seahawk anti-submarine warfare helicopters and fill an operational need left by the cancellation of the Sea Sprite project," unquote. First deliveries are envisioned in 2014, whichever is the choice. Up next on ANN, the Business Travel Coalition roots for One World. The Sukhoi Superjet 100 has landed someplace very cold, and the U.S. Air Force wants to take better care of UAV pilots. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 1st. I'm Paul Platt. While the U.S. Congress gets antsy anytime airlines propose to cooperate under antitrust immunity, a group representing business travelers is applauding the Obama administration's DOT for proposing to approve the One World Alliance, a global partnership which would include American Airlines, British Airways, Royal Jordanian, Finnair, and Iberia. The Business Travel Coalition says consumers and corporate travel departments will now have three fully competitive alliance networks battling it out for their business. One World would compete with the Star and SkyTeam alliances, which the group notes have been operating with antitrust immunity for some time. BTC Chairman Kevin Mitchell says immunity for the alliance, quote, "will strengthen the competitiveness of London Heathrow vis-a-vis Paris Charles de Gaulle, Germany's Frankfurt, and Amsterdam's Schiphol airports, resulting in greater opportunities to play one alliance off against the others as these competitors seek to attract business travelers to transit their respective European gateway airports. On top of Japan Airlines' decision to remain with Oneworld, which guarantees three-way alliance competition in the U.S. to Japan and Northern Asia markets, the decision announced by DOT once again heralds the dawn of an invigorated consumer voice at DOT. BTC encourages the DOT and European Commission, which is also reviewing the airline's proposal, to proceed without delay in bringing these benefits to the airline customer, unquote. The third Sukhoi Superjet 100 flight prototype landed at Yakutsk Airport on Friday afternoon in preparation for cold soak trials. The tests examine the ability of the aircraft and its systems to resist temperature shock and validate the standard flight preparation of the aircraft after short and long parking. The tests are designed to confirm systems performance, including the warming up time prior to departure. The interior temperature in both the cockpit and passenger cabin is also part of the trials. The aircraft that arrived on Friday for testing has a full crew cockpit interior and passenger service equipment, including the interior, a kitchen, and a lavatory, and represents full certification configuration. Yakutsk Airport is a traditional place for Russian cold soak trials. The average February temperature there is minus 35 degrees Celsius. That's minus 31 Fahrenheit. The U.S. Air Force has approved incentive pay for officers and enlisted airmen who commit themselves to flying remotely piloted aircraft, or RPA, or operating sensors on unmanned aircraft. The incentive is equivalent to current aviation incentive pay programs. There are just over 400 airmen currently in the RPA career fields. Air Force leaders expect that number to rise to more than 1,000 as the need for more combat air patrols increases over the next few years. Until recently, RPAs were the only airframes for which enlisted crew were not receiving incentive pay specific to their duties. Chief Master Sergeant Victor Allen, the field manager for career enlisted aviators, notes, quote, "The sensor operator position was often an additional duty for imagery analysis airmen, but commanders want people who are devoted to staying in the career field. Offering the incentive pay will help us build the force we need to meet the demands of the mission," unquote. Still ahead, Gulfstream has its second G650 in the air. A real estate developer goes after Oceano County Airport. And one GA airport actually plans to encourage plane watching. You're listening to AeroNews.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, March 1st. I'm Paul Plagg. Gulfstream Aerospace has announced that a second ultra-large cabin, ultra-long-range G650 has completed its first flight. The plane they call T2 took off from Savannah Hilton Head International Airport at 12:50 p.m. on Thursday, with senior experimental test pilots Gary Freeman and Scott Buth in the cockpit. The aircraft flew for 2 hours 33 minutes, reaching 37,000 feet and Mach 0.8 before landing back at Savannah. In a company first, both G650 flight test aircraft, T2 and T1, were airborne simultaneously and were tracked by dual telemetry facilities in real time. Gulfstream Senior VP Press Henney says the plane proved easy to fly, even in gusty, blustery conditions. Quote, "We plan to make half a dozen flights to assess basic system functionality before proceeding to more intensive testing," unquote. The plane is projected to be capable of Mach 0.925, and a cruise speed of Mach 0.85 for 7,000 nautical miles. FAA certification and entry into service are expected next year. Jeff Edwards, a California land planner and local real estate developer, is organizing a meeting to discuss closing Oceano County Airport. He thinks the land would be better used for senior housing and a new community center. He tells the San Luis Obispo Tribune, quote, "I see enormous potential. This property would represent a significant cash flow to the county if they were to close the airport and lease it for development," unquote. Local pilots are up in arms and trying to muster a good showing at the meeting, but local officials stress the meeting has no official standing. The airport has received FAA grants of over $2 million in recent years, and it's asking for more, all of which would require that the airport remain an airport. Oceano has 14 based aircraft, sees an average of 27 operations a day, and has a single 2,300-foot runway. The meeting, if you're interested, will take place March 17th at 5 p.m. at the Rabobank in Grover Beach. And finally today, in a time when many small-town GA airports are under attack, the Greenville Downtown Airport in South Carolina is a welcome exception. The Airport Commission is actively seeking an entrepreneur to establish a restaurant in an available building, providing not only a destination with meals for visiting aviators, but a local attraction for people who love to watch planes come and go. Tracy Holden is the manager of TAC Air, based on the field. Quote, "You can always find people watching our airport activity at one of our free observation areas, and we get a lot of requests for hangar parties. People of all ages love to see aviation in action. The airport is fun during the day, and the runway lights are beautiful at night," unquote. Airport Marketing Director Lara Kaufman envisions a park like the one at Peachtree DeKalb Airport in Georgia. Quote, "It has picnic tables, a viewing stand, playground equipment, and restrooms. We have had several park designs made and are just waiting for our future restaurant tenant to help make the final design decisions," unquote. The airport is self-sufficient, not relying on taxpayer support, and it's home to more than 24 aviation-related businesses. I lived and worked in Greenville for 4 years, and you won't find a nicer place to live. If you're inclined to pursue the opportunity, get details at greenvilledowntownairport.com. Click on Airport Information for contact instructions. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves talks about the benefits and limits of TIS in GA aircraft. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.